Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson concerns a very serious moral problem that has devastating repercussions upon society, the economy, the spiritual welfare of many people. It is a problem that literally threatens to erode the civilization. It certainly destroys respect for the Word of God. We're told that 1 in 6 children born in our country are illegitimate. In some ethnic groups, the rate is way over 50%. Even some have estimated as high as 70%. Now, an illegitimate child is a child that's born of a woman, the father of which is not the husband of the woman. Therefore, the child does not bear the father's name. It's a child that is born out of wedlock. The child is born as a result of sinful sexual conduct. The extent of this problem has grown by leaps and bounds in recent years due to the so-called new morality, which has given license to any and every kind of sexual relationship without limit. Thousands upon thousands of children are being born to unwed parents. Homes are operated for unwed mothers, government expenditure increasing for both the care of the mother as well as the children. And many of these mothers are teenagers. This does not take into account the thousands upon thousands of unborn children who are murdered each year by some form of abortion, legal and illegal. The figures are staggering because of their enormity, and it grows year by year. Nor does this take into account the lowered morals of those who conceive the child out of wedlock but who are married before the child is born. Marriage does not place a robe of sanctity around illicit sexual relationships that occur before marriage. The child born of premarital sex is not counted, however, as an illegitimate child, even though the child was illegitimately conceived. There is no way to be accurate regarding the extent of the fornication and the adultery that evidently runs rampant in our society. The shame and disgrace of conceiving a child out of wedlock, bearing a child out of wedlock, being sexually immoral has been removed to a great extent because of the acceptance by society of the sin, because of the defiance of the will of God. Because of the lack of consistency, even among religious people, between word and deed, because of the general decay of morality across the board in the United States, the sin regarding illegitimate children is not a sin of the children. It is actually a misnomer to declare the child illegitimate as if the child was in some way evil. The child is as innocent of sin as any other child. The man and woman who produce the child are the ones who are illegitimate and immoral, and the extent and influence of their sin resounds far beyond the birth of a sinless child. Sin is no more chargeable to the woman than to the man, or vice versa. Even though the world has often had a double standard in such matters, there never has been a double standard with God. The shame of the double standard has been largely removed in recent years because now more and more people do not consider it shameful to violate God's law of morality anymore, whether man or woman. And while women may bear more of the problems caused by a child born out of wedlock, this due to the physical production of the child, giving birth, caring for the child, finding ways to support the child, the guilt of sin is as damnable to one as to the other. Many men have been led to believe that if the woman with whom they commit fornication should conceive, that the problem is altogether her problem. But both have contributed to the damnation of the soul of each other. We hear a lot of talk today on the subject of abortion, that a woman should be given the right over her own body. I don't know anybody that disputes that. What some deranged minds cannot understand is that she has already exercised the control of her body when she gave herself to an illicit sexual relationship. But once a child is conceived, there is more than just her body that must be considered.
She had control over her body, and she ignored the sin and responsibility that inescapably accompanies this conduct. The problem of illegitimacy, illicit sex, is not confined to any one social or economic level of people. It is a moral infection that has invaded the rich and the poor, the educated, the uneducated, black, white, every other color, every group, including many church-going people. Many are aroused over the social problem and the health problems, but they're not so much concerned because of the offenses against morality. They are aroused because of the increasing tax burden this willful defiance of God has produced. The cost arising and the burden is appalling. But the Christian is concerned because of his hatred of sin and his love for souls. It is this moral and spiritual failure and breakdown that grieves the heart of the child of God far more than any other related consequence. It is true, however, that this scar of sin occurs far less among those who have been taught morality, who know that they are not merely animals that have evolved, who realize that they are responsible before God and man for their behavior, and who retain some self-respect and personal dignity. Anyone who does not have respect for the value of Bible study, religious training, moral teaching, Christian principles, human dignity, simply does not understand the only remedy and the only solution to this increasing blight among humankind. Once it is known that a child has been conceived out of wedlock, there are great problems to those involved. The first impulse is to chastise and rebuke those who sin. It is really too late for preaching. If preaching is to be done, it must be the condemnation of sin and plea for repentance that seeks forgiveness. But what has been done cannot be undone. There is no way that minimizes the enormity of sin, however. Parents weep many tears, wondering, where did we go wrong regarding their children who get so involved? Very likely it's not what was done wrong, but what was not done at all. It is frightening to know that over half of those under 20 years of age, we're told, are receiving no kind of moral training from anybody anywhere. The neglect of proper guidance and teaching is a tragedy. Providing biological information and birth control devices, that does not solve the problem. The problem is moral. The problem is a disrespect for Almighty God, their Creator and Judge. When this is either neglected by parents or ignored by others, what can be expected except the results of sin and the just recompense of reward? It is a spiritual tragedy of the worst sort. What all must come to realize is that illicit sexual relationships are demonstrations of disregard for God. It is a gross disrespect for His authority. It is sin. Many who know the truth ignore the truth. Mere knowledge of God's will is not enough, even though that is essential. There must be the determination to comply with His will. And this do-your-own-thing attitude that is so prevalent today, being promoted on every hand, illegitimate children are inevitably some of the consequences. Illicit sexual activity is sometimes provoked by the lack of security in the home. With the enormous divorce rate, single-parent homes, mothers working outside the home, children being cared for by others, the security level for many children is at rock bottom. They seek companionship, they seek acceptance. When parents are so busy they cannot take care of their children, seeking acceptance themselves for almost any quarter, their children act similarly and find themselves in sin. Boys have deceived girls into suggesting that sex is a proof of love. What a damnable lie. It's the very opposite of love. It's the opposite of love when the sex proposed is between two who are not married. Nobody who really loves another will ask that they damn the soul to prove anything. You do not prove love, not through sin. You prove love by refusing to sin. weak fathers, dominant mothers, children even with plenty of money but scarcity of morals, it creates insecurity. It creates feelings of not being wanted. To feel wanted, many have dissipated their bodies in fornication. Empty houses, loose supervision, worldly ambitions, peer pressure, and the neglect of God and the home is at the root of the whole sordid and hideous scene. The craving for pleasure and material things, to be attractive, to get ahead, they've ruined the lives and the eternities of millions. Some have blamed society, or finances, or education, or other factors that likely have contributed somewhat to illicit conduct. But you know there are many who are poor, who live in deprived areas, who have not had every educational opportunity, but who have been taught God's truth. They're not among the immoral. There will ever be the natural curiosity among the young about the opposite sex. Parents have failed to teach children regarding the body. As a result, many today are clamoring for the schools to do that job, often by teachers who are so stupid as to think that sex can properly be presented in a vacuum of moral teaching. It is true. Too many children get their so-called facts of life from the back alley and the restrooms and the locker rooms and dirty jokes and filthy conversation, but this only aggravates the problems. The disrespect for God's laws regarding marriage, the sacredness of marriage, the permanency of marriage, faithfulness in marriage, the laws of God as to who is and not marriageable, all have paved the way for the moral breakdown that brings children into the world with father and mother not married to each other. Some are led to think that all sexual activity is evil rather than beautiful. It is not evil. It's a God-given expression, but it is reserved for those who are married to each other. Even in the church, there are those who have left God's law about marriage and divorce, granting divorces for just any and every cause, granting the right to marry to almost anybody, no discipline in the church toward those who defy God's teaching. They have surrendered to the ways of the world, and they are trying to accommodate sin and convert God to fit mankind in his sin. We should not think that God will hold such false brethren guiltless of their false doctrines and their wicked practices which they promote. The only real solution to the problem is to prevent illicit sexual conduct. Once one has sinned, we must strive for the conversion of the heart and repentance and restoration through forgiveness. But why should so many have to suffer the agony of sin and the disgrace of bearing a child out of marriage, the regret and the pain that shall forever follow? Why must there be the flow of grief that sin brings? God has given us the way to go. Why should we not walk in his way? Friend, there must be the recognition and acceptance of the fact that fornication is sin. Galatians 5:19 through 21 is a list of what is called the works of the flesh, which, if practiced, prevents entrance into the kingdom of God. That means you're going to hell. The first two sins are adultery and fornication. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 teaches that fornication is not even to be named among the saints. Colossians 3 and verse 5 mentions fornication. They're to be mortified. They're to be put to death. Abstain from fornication is the instruction of 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Among the works of the flesh is also lasciviousness. This is that which inclines toward lewd and immoral thoughts and actions. Therefore, there should be teaching against the modern dances, the pornographic literature, running with the fast crowd in the late hours, other such things that provoke the loss of control of passions, the skimpy attire, the immodest clothes that many wear in order to be fashionable have tempted the very sinfulness that results in children being born out of wedlock. Dear friend, this petting and beach parties and filling the mind with sex-oriented movies and television programs, they all contribute to the breakdown of moral restraint, and it's a defiance of Almighty God. What fools we are in this country to think we're going to be the first to repeal the law of sowing and reaping. Sin can be forgiven, but the scars of sin plague the one who commits sin throughout the rest of his life. This is surely so evident with the sin of illicit sex that results in the conception of a new life. Regret is a difficult matter to overcome. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Efforts to cover fornication and birth of children conceived out of wedlock do not succeed. Giving the child for adoption seldom really solves the problem. At best, it only shifts the responsibility elsewhere. Marriage can partially cover conception out of wedlock as far as giving the child a name. But only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse the soul stained in fornication. We must provide for the oncoming generations a sense of purity and of decency, morality, responsibility, provide security, proper companionship, care, and genuine Christian love. We cannot rely upon the unwanted conceptions, the possibility of disease, the other factors to motivate people to morality. We must teach them the love of God, respect for His ways, the conversion of the heart to that which is right. Only then can there be a significant dent made in the distress and the shame of what is called the problem of illegitimate children. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.